The title of today's message is The Hungry and Thirsty. And our text today can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. And I read. It says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. Another version says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Do you know that unless God builds a house, those who work as builders, their efforts might be wasted. People who are building homes, building marriages. We're all building, but except God is in it, our efforts might be wasted. In fact, the Bible says that our efforts are wasted. Except God is there building. The Bible also says that unless God protects the city, the sentries guarding it will do no good. It is only what God protects that is protected. So I want to encourage us this morning to please pay attention to what He has to say to us. Very important. God wants to bless us. I know there has been a lot of stuff about, you know, how people have abused the blessings of God. But it still doesn't negate the fact that God wants to bless. So please don't turn off when you hear things like that. God loves to bless, and He wants to bless. There's a guy in the Bible called Solomon. A lot of us know him very well. God blessed him tremendously. The Bible says that concerning Solomon, he composed 3,000 proverbs. And he wrote 1,005 songs. He had knowledge of so many things. Animals, you know, plants. It said kings sent all the ambassadors to come and listen to the wisdom of Solomon. That's what God can do. That's how God can bless you. And God wants to bless you even more this morning. Now, God's blessings are conditional. God wants to bless us, but His blessings are conditional. And that's why we read that scripture, that God will bless those who hunger and thirst for justice. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your background. You know, as long as you're able to meet His condition, God will bless you. They say to us, they say that the basic necessities of life are food, clothing, and shelter. I think they've added a few other things there again now, but these are the basic things. You know, we can't survive without these things. You know, if you don't have food, you know, a matter of days, maybe a week, maybe two. So this aspect is very important. What about clothing? Equally important. We're not talking about the branded things now, just basic clothing now. You know, if I came in here without clothes, I'm sure you would leg it. You won't stay. You know, so we need something to, you know, cover ourselves up. So it's not maybe. These are essentials. And shelter, you know, it's summer now, you know, but are we going to say because it's summer we're going to stay outside? We also need shelter to, you know, protect us from the elements. So these things are very important. Maybe that is why we prioritize these things. We prioritize them over and above other things. Because it's like survival. And I get it. And at times people would go to any extent. Crime, violence, because they have to survive. But there's a problem here. Because Jesus says something different. And you know, we talked about it earlier on that we need to pay attention to what he's saying. Jesus says that the greatest need of man is not food, is not clothing, is not shelter, is not health and fitness. He's not saying that it's not a need. He's just saying that those things are not the greatest needs of man. So it means that we have, you know, prioritized these things wrongly. Jesus says that the greatest need of man is God. The greatest need of man is God. Why? Why God? Man has a big, big, big problem that only God can solve. Man has a big, big, big problem that only God through Jesus can solve. But how come man has a big problem and man does not know? Because we must ask ourselves this question. If I'm saying that there's a big problem that man has, and man does not know, and it's so big, how come man missed it? Do you know why? Because man refuses to submit himself to spiritual checkup. So the symptoms are there. But he's not able to understand the implications. And every time you ask him to submit himself, man says he has no time. Is it not true as well that physically, people are walking around, and in their bodies, there are certain things that shouldn't be there, and they're not aware? Because they have not submitted themselves to their doctors for a checkup. Man's problem is a three-letter word, sin. That is man's problem. And what is sin? Sin is rebellion against God. The God who created heaven and earth. The God who created you, the one who manages the galaxies, the one who woke us up this morning. We exist because of him. And yet, man is saying, I won't listen to you. You know, if you see somebody driving on the other side of the M25, this is where you should be driving, and you're driving on the other side. Such a person is not only a risk to himself, but is a risk to others. And that's what rebellion is. When we walk in rebellion, we're a risk to ourselves and we're a risk to others. So God will not condone rebellion. He wouldn't condone rebellion. So as a result of that, the Bible says that on a daily basis, God is angry with the wicked. Rightly so. On a daily basis, God is angry with the wicked. What makes man's rebellion a big challenge is that man is saying to God that I can do better without you. And as a result of that, man, or God, beg your pardon, cut off a relationship with man. As a result of man's rebellion, God cut off his relationship with man. Now, when the relationship was cut off, man lost everything. Man lost God's presence, and man began to malfunction. And that's the result of what we see all around us today. Everything that we can see is working against man. Man begins to malfunction. There's turmoil all over the place. But may I say something? It's not likely to get better. Because as man is making strides, he's taking strides to improve, without God there, those things can't hold. So it's an exercise in futility. It's an exercise in futility. It won't hold. So things will get worse. But I remember, you know, we talked about hunger and thirst. That was one of the things that we talked about. God will bless those who hunger and thirst. And I want us to look at those two words quickly. When you're talking about hunger and thirst, it's like you're talking about a need. There's a need there. There's a need there. And more than likely, a desperate need. More than likely, a need for survival. Hunger and thirst. More than likely, a desperate need for survival. But God is saying to us, hunger and thirst after what? What exactly are we hungering and thirsting for? The things of the world. You know, we talked about it in terms of the hierarchy. You know, food, clothing, and shelter. And God is saying, no, it's a wrong priority. That is not what we should be hungering and thirsting for. God is saying that we should be hungering and thirsting for Him. Because all these things that we, you know, the trappings of life, the food, the clothing, and the shelter, all those things, God says, I am able to supply them. It's not a problem. What God wants us to do is to prioritize, is to reprioritize our needs. Rather than hungering and thirsting for those things, because those things, at times, they mean like survival to us. It's like if we don't get those things, we're not going to survive. We're not going to function. But God is saying, you know what? I've got your back. I'm able to take care of you. Rather than you hungering and thirsting for those things, God wants you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because if you do it that way, God says, I am able to take care of the rest. After all, I made you. I'm the one who sustains you. But I want you to get your priorities right. Hunger and thirst after me. Because those things that we run after, they don't last. They are perishable items. They are perishable items. So God is saying to us this morning that prioritize your needs. So how do we go about that? How do we go about prioritizing our needs? First of all, we need to believe in Jesus. That's the first thing that we need to do. We need to accept and acknowledge that we are sinners, that we have wronged God, that we have gotten the priorities wrong. Rather than going after God, we've gone after things. Things that are perishable at the expense of following God. Repent of our sins and then put our faith in God. It must be such where it's a matter of life and death. Just as we run after these things that are perishable, these things that will not, they won't stand the test of time. God says, turn it around. Because what I am able to offer you is better. You know, that place, God says, I will satisfy you. Those things don't satisfy. But God is saying that I will satisfy you if you prioritize, if you make me your priority. Put your faith in Jesus and begin to obey him. Begin to trust him. God says, you know what? I will satisfy you. I will give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit surely satisfies. You see, life will throw at us challenges. But the fact that you know that God is with you, the peace of God is with you, makes all the difference. When you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, when you become a child of God, you've repented of your sins and you put your faith in Christ Jesus, then God becomes your Father. Then God sends the Holy Spirit into your heart and he begins to help you. It begins to help me. Suddenly, we're not alone any longer. We have God there to help us. The peace of God is evident in our lives. God says, I will satisfy you. Even those things that we've been running after. He says, I will give all those things to you. And he's able to do so. But he says, make me your priority. But you see, beyond this world, God promises eternal life. And that is very, very key. How many years are we going to spend here? 70 years or 80 years? But God is saying that if you accept me as your Lord and Savior, I give you the gift of eternal life, which means that here you will enjoy the benefits. You will be with him forever. It's a terrible thing to be outside of the presence of God. But God is saying that if you would accept him and you will prioritize him as number one, then you become his child. Then you have the gift of eternal life. And that is wonderful. I have some scriptures that I thought we'll just look at. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 25-27. Matthew 6, 25-27. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father always knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now let's look at John chapter 6 from verses 26 to 35. John chapter 6 from verses 26 to 35. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I tell you, because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. God wants to satisfy us. The capacity to do that is with him. He has the capacity. There is evidence to prove that. But it's our mindset. And unless we change that mindset and reprogram it and reprioritize him as number one, there will be problems. And do you know what, sirs and ma'ams? For us who say that we are Christians, we are born again. The evidence of that is that you are reaching out to others. If you are not, then there's something that is wrong with the foundation. Because you must be about your Father's business. We've had so much, you know, in the last few weeks about, you know, dependency, reliance on God. He's spoken to us today about a hunger and a thirst, a desperate approach. Would you say, would I say that I am desperate in my walk with God? Would I say that I'm desperate? And if I am desperate, thank God for that. But what am I doing about the lost souls? God is counting on you and I to reach out. As I said, the world is sick and they're not aware. But we are aware, we know. God has given us the information. But start with yourself first. So may I ask, or may I suggest, that make a fresh commitment today. Because eternity is real. Someone sent something to me that there is no second batch of rapture. It's not as if they do one batch. No, no, no. Once it happens, it happens. Once you pass away, you pass away. One thing I learned recently, I read about the man who was going on a journey, and he gave some people talents, the servants, 5, 2, and 1. And one hid his own, you know the story. And the man came back and he asked them to settle the account. One thing that God ministered to me is that what we are going to account for is our time. It's not about the money or the talent. Oh yes, all those things are embedded, but your time. I gave you 70 years, what did you do with it? I gave you 80 years, what did you do? You've got to account for your time. So time management comes into play. This thing we've talked about, this urge, this desire to hunger and thirst, leaving no room, dependency on God, and reaching out to others is what we should start to do. God bless us. Amen.